Our scripture for today comes from Psalms 141, verses 1 through 7. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall laud your works to another, and shall delight your and declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. The might of your awesome deeds shall be proclaimed, and I will declare your greatness. They shall celebrate the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Yesterday, around 12:30 in the afternoon, I was in a little bit of a panic. It's been a long week, an unusually long week. Let me say, every week is not like this. But yesterday, I had a funeral and a wedding. Believe it or not, I was not panicked over the funeral or the wedding. No, instead, I was panicked over today's sermon. It was 12:30 yesterday when I finally sat down to begin the process of preparing for today's sermon. That is not good. My preaching professor, Dr. Joey Jeter, would not be happy with me. In all of my years of helping teach preaching at Bright Divinity School, I consistently told the students, do not wait until Saturday afternoon or Saturday night to begin your sermon preparation. Anything can happen that can delay getting it done. Start earlier in the week. So yesterday, around 12:30, I was in a little bit of a panic. I had to leave for the funeral around 2 to be there for part of the visitation, and then the funeral was at 3. And from the funeral, I had to go straight to the wedding, which was here at Spring House, because it started at 5. Yes, funeral at 3, wedding at 5. Then after the reception, I knew that I would be too exhausted to work on a sermon. See why we don't wait until Saturday to begin the process of preparing our sermons. So yesterday around 12:30, I was in a little bit of a panic. I sat down, read the psalm, and I thought, so what? After all, we have used verses from this psalm, the verses that Pat just read, for one whole month for our stewardship campaign. I haven't preached from it, but it's been on every bulletin insert, every newsletter, every email blast, Facebook, you name it, it has been there. We have heard from members of the congregation in such beautiful ways, them sharing the impact of one generation sharing the mighty acts of God with the next generation. And to be honest, we did just have a stewardship campaign in January, and we had a stewardship Sunday just 8 months ago. Yesterday, I wanted to say, hey, we pastors need more than 8 months to have another rousing, let's all turn in our pledge cards and time and talent cards kind of sermon. So about that panic, yesterday was a very blessed day, very, very blessed. The families involved with the funeral and with the wedding are amazing and wonderful families. The wedding couple came all the way from Texas to get married here, and it was great to hear y'all and Mike could and be around a group of people who didn't look at me funny when I talk, unlike the funeral director yesterday. But having a funeral and a wedding can make for a pretty busy day. And when you add the panic of the sermon on top of it, it can make it just a little stressful. All went well with the funeral, and I made it in plenty of time, right, Deb, for the wedding? All went well with the wedding, and the reception was so much fun, and everyone was happy. But I really needed to go home and write a sermon. We had 2 wonderful, fabulous members of the church, and more, serve as kitchen host and hostess while the meal after the wedding was taking place. Andy and Rachel and family did a fantastic job, and they stayed until it was time for them to go home. We realized then that if I left too, there'd be no one here in case something happened. But that's not a problem because Rick was coming around 8 or 9 or so. Andy and Rachel needed to go. They had their kids. They'd done a fabulous job, more than their fair share, by the way. Gracious, gracious host. So a little more panic set in. Of course, with the time change, I told myself I do have one more hour that I could add to the hours needed to finish my sermon. Too much to do in a very short period of time. Remember, don't wait until Saturday to work on your sermon, no matter how busy the week becomes. I wish that in that extra hour, I had discovered a rousing sermon that's going to make you fill out your pledge cards for millions of dollars and make you volunteer for everything on the time and talent cards, but I don't have that sermon. Instead, I have a sermon that comes out of a lot of panic, a very busy week, and a second stewardship campaign in 1 year. And actually, it's not too different than the weeks that every one of you have had. That's how I felt when I began to really read this psalm. Did you know that this psalm is an acrostic? Probably not, because you don't have it in Hebrew. Every verse begins with a letter from the Hebrew alphabet in alphabetical order from Aleph to Tav. It would be like us writing a poem with every verse beginning with the letter of our alphabet, A to Z. There is one letter missing, though, in this acrostic, but everything else is in order. Some believe that the use of acrostics was a way to help people remember something. I'm sure some of you have something like that that help you remember, I don't know, the ukulele chords, all dogs have fleas kind of thing. but help you remember something. God's people could remember this psalm because they could remember the order of the verses as they correspond to their alphabet. So this psalm of praise, as it says, may have been used as liturgy in some way. And it's in the Jewish prayer book more times than any other psalm is. And did you notice the very first verse? I will extol you, my God and King. The psalmist is declaring that God is King, and it is God's name that will be blessed, and the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. There are many other qualities and characteristics of God that are mentioned in the rest of this psalm. Listen, mighty acts, splendor of your majesty, wondrous works, awesome deeds, abundant goodness, righteousness, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, good to all, compassion, power, everlasting, faithful, gracious, upholds those who fall, raises up those who are bent down. God gives food, satisfies every desire of every living thing. God is just, God is kind, God is near to all, hears, saves, watches over. That's an amazing psalm. We can see how one could create an acrostic that speaks to the goodness and mercy of God. In the Talmud, which is the collection of rabbinic writings and discussion on the text in the Torah, this psalm holds high regard to the point that it is said, everyone who repeats the Tehillah, the praise of David, 3 times a day may be sure that he, and I'm going to add she, is a child of the world to come. Wow. Repeating that God is King and reciting all of the wonders of God 3 times a day makes us a child of the world to come, the world where God reigns, not a human ruler, but God. The world where the fundamental reality and pervasive power is the graciousness, compassionate, faithful love of God, as said in the New Interpreter's Commentary. You know, if you say this psalm 3 times a day, some of the panic of a busy week with no time to spare begins to melt away a little bit. Granted, I said it in a panic voice 3 times, but I said it. And if you say it enough times, the psalm comes alive, and all of a sudden this understanding of God as the ruler appears to be pretty radical. Back in the day, kings were charged with the safety of those whom they ruled, right? The king had to make sure that the people had shelter and land and animals and water and crops and fertility for the animals and for the humans. Kings had to make sure that people had what they needed to be able to have life, the basic necessities of life. God is the one who provides, according to this psalm, our God who is compassionate and merciful and picks up those who are falling and those who are bent down. Compassionate. Merciful. picks up the lowly? Does this remind you of anyone? Isn't this the God whom Jesus Christ showed us? Isn't this the ministry of First Christian Church Minneapolis? In all of my panic yesterday, I never stopped to realize that the ministry this church has carried out fits this psalm. It's true. We believe that we are called to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the world, which means we are called to be the hands and feet of the presence of God in this world, which means that in my panic, I miss that this community of faith is already living out this psalm, hence why we are so busy. Because of your commitment to your church, to this church, and to be a church that looks outside the walls of the church and offers grace and hope to all, a stranger, a child of God, was able to have a celebration of life for the life he so dearly loved. Because of your desire to continue to serve the world, a couple from Texas were able to come and be married in Minnesota and have loving, caring people walk that journey with them. These are people that you have never met. These are people that you may never meet, but they know you. They know that you are a compassionate, caring, loving, grace-filled congregation that gives of your gifts and time and talent so that there is a church, that you have a staff and volunteers that carry out the ministry of this church. They don't know that our Stewardship Sunday is today, but what they do know is that you could have written this acrostic. You could have written Psalm 145. For through your gifts of time, talent, money, resources, you provided a safe place, a dwelling place for those who grieve, and for those who are celebrating life. I'm beginning to believe that y'all recited this psalm 3 times a day before I arrived. That's true, right? Yeah. I have to admit, I haven't heard you do that, but there is so much that you do out of love for God that maybe I haven't been listening closely enough. With every person you help, I do hear, "Great is the Lord." With every prayer you say, I'm pretty sure I hear you bless God's name forever and ever. With every song you sing, I'm pretty sure it is a harmony of God's righteousness. Every time we gather around the table, you show everyone gathered the glory of God's world, the world where the reality and power is the gracious, compassionate, faithful love of God. Too much to do? Not enough time. I don't have another rousing stewardship sermon. Instead, I have the humbling knowledge that I serve a congregation that has said this psalm in one way or another for generation upon generation. You have been faithful, and you have spoken of and lived out the goodness of God for generation upon generation. Why, just yesterday, untold people were offered peace by your generous gifts. And a new generation, as Deb has shown us, is beginning to learn this acrostic, this hymn of praise. We may not recite it aloud, but I thank God that through your gifts of money, time, and talent, you live it out. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. So great is the Lord is that we do have resources to be able to offer to God in thanksgiving for all that we have been given. And we do have gifts and talents. Even if it's making something out of Play-Doh, or making a card, or being able to serve as a host or hostess when we do have groups come in and celebrate weddings or funerals or whatever in our worship spaces. Or maybe you have the gift of prayer. Maybe you have the gift of knitting caps for those that need the caps. The gift of singing, the gift of playing bells, the gift of being able to come and sit in a chair and worship. It's a gift. We all have something to offer, and I pray that you will fill out your time and talent card. It is just as important as that pledge card, for we need all that we can get of people serving so that we can continue to live out this incredible psalm that you've been living for years and years and years. So take a moment, then fill out your card. And when you're ready, if you will come and place them in the basket, and then I will say a prayer when we are through.